here.
Okay, Revelation chapter 12. The book of Revelation it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the future, and we've talked a lot about that. But in order to understand what I'm going to talk about this morning, you must see that the book of Revelation is an overriding reality that is always true. The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the earth. And what we've got to understand and begin to grab hold of is that if we're going to be disciples of the living Christ, then we are of a different order, a different class, a different way of looking at life, and a different way to responding to stimulus on a second-by-second basis. And this is the singular thing that has not been understood in this body. Because you constantly go from feeling of revelation and peace and understanding to back down into the pit. And the pit is simply the world system. Now, this whole mystery is about who has authority over what. We must understand that the victory has already been won, therefore we are never, ever, ever separate from the first source, or the only source. But there is this whole sea of mire or pit that's the world system. It's cause and effect, it's reward and punishment. It's if I do this, this is going to happen. If I don't do this, this won't happen. And you spend your life thinking in this arena. And then every once in a while, you pop up and visit the kingdom of God. But slowly but surely, the next time some stimulus comes, the next time one of the voices starts speaking to you, you return back to the kingdom. And it doesn't matter whether you're a drug addict, whether you're an alcoholic, or whether you're an idiot. The point of it is that you keep fighting the wrong battle over and over and over and over and over. You don't understand that we live our life, our heritage, our rightful place, everything is in a different universe. It's a different world. What I'm going to try to describe this morning is how you stay in the kingdom of God, how you stay seated on the mercy seat, where you never leave it. But that mystery costs you something. It costs you the right to yourself. Glenn, are you listening?
Yeah.
This is the mystery. This is what death should have taught us. Just as the voices no longer plague Steve, the voices no longer have to plague you. The stimulus, the wants, the needs, the lusts, they have no power over you if you're living in the right kingdom. All right. In verse 7. There was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, heaven is simply not something that you're going to go to someday. Heaven is your place of abiding. Can you understand that? Can you understand what gets you out of the place of abiding? The second that you become the subject of your sentence, then you have the evil one has won and you have lost. And it doesn't matter whether it's over, whether somebody did something to you, whether or not you got upset at somebody, whether you got upset at a situation, whether you got upset at a schedule, whether you got upset at an agenda, it doesn't matter what it is. The moment you go there, then you are left to your own devices by the Holy Spirit. Now watch. The point of this is, the dragon prevailed not, neither was there any place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Everything now is in the earth. What is going on in the earth? What is going on in your earthen vessel? You are now simply a temple. Don't you understand? There's been this being masquerading as you. You have never existed. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now this is the only voice that you now hear if you're in the right place. This everything about discipleship is positional. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Now, it's a verb. They agapeoed not their life even unto death. How do you love your life? You love your life the minute you give importance to it. The minute a stimulus hits you and you feel you've been wronged. The minute a stimulus hits you and you feel that you should have to be in a different place. Any time that any stimulus hits you, it causes you to feel like something should be different than it is. That means the moment that happens, that you've gone back down into this other kingdom of darkness. You've gone back down into the pit. Am I communicating to anybody? Anybody have any response so far? Huh? I'm tired of your pissant excuses. I'm tired of your little lives that you live just like a Gentile. I'm tired of your little attempts to go back and pick up relics of the past. If you're going to be a disciple, it's time to be a disciple. If you're not going to be a disciple, it's time to go back to the world and go back to it fully. Father, please. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, anytime that you use I as the subject of your sentence, anytime you feel you've been wronged, anytime you return to cause and effect, anytime you return to reward and punishment, every time you go back into thinking that about guilt, you have become an inhabitor of the earth, and you have lost your inheritance. Gary, are you okay or are you asleep?
No, I'm contemplating the same thing. The idea of discipleship.
Remember, we're not contemplating. If you have something to say, you bubble it forth. There's no more thinking about it. I don't care if you interrupt me. You know me well enough to know that if I don't want you to interrupt me, I'll tell you. Bubble forth. Prophesy above all things, my brethren. All right, I'm sorry.
The discipleship is a word it's not, it's like there's some kind of coming together here. It's not discipleship out here, Jesus here, and here something. It's him that is living, a fruit of discipleship, you might say. And it's because he's faithful, not because I am.
Amen.
I'm not. But that's what I was marveling at that moment. He's faithful. And he causes the process to complete itself.
I like that thing you said, but anytime you're thinking about yourself, you've been cast out into the earth, and that's where you're living, instead of in the kingdom. You're wandering around there with all these things that are subject to wrath.
Let's go to chapter 9.
Chapter?
Revelation. When the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This isn't some crap that's going to happen outside there. This is what happens in you. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them that was given power as scorpions of the earth, and power. And it was, and we've gone, we'll study the rest of that. But the point of it is, when this fifth angel sounds, and the fifth angel will always sound when you become the subject of your sentence, then you begin to slide down to the bottomless pit. It's inexorable. Haven't you seen that? Is there anybody here that hasn't seen that? You think it's so righteous to start thinking about yourself in some area, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, what your response should be. The minute that happens, the angel sounds, the fifth angel, and you start this inexorable slide down into the bottomless pit. Can everybody hear me? You must know that. I saw it happen this morning to Betty. Well, get out of there. The only way you get out of there is saying, Father, forgive me for being locked back into this kingdom. Everything else, don't you see? You spend the rest of your life at Trinity Foundation, and you come to Bible study every day, and you leave Bible study, and you become just like every other Gentile, because you respond internally just like the Gentile, and you don't respond by faith. And what happens? Slowly but surely, the slippery slide begins. And then you have to go back and get another fix. You have to have, that's why the scriptures are so clear. We exhort one another daily while it is still called today. You don't allow someone to stay in that position. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another about him, and a book of remembrance was written before him. Every place you look, every stimulus that transpires, you should see him. And that's the mystery. He will show you wondrous things out of that. But you have to lose the right to yourself. Don't you see self, under any guise, all of the various and sundry attempts to fix you or your situation are now forbidden. It's a shame even to talk about such things. Can you understand why I hate psychobabble so much? Can you understand why I despise small talk? Why I despise, I just want to have this
I just want to be, I just want to do, I just want to be alone, I just want to be this, I just want to be that. If you just want to be, this is the wrong place for you. The whining, the complaining, the sloth that is now in this body is making is a stench in my nostrils. And if it's in my nostrils, can you imagine what it is in God's? The backbiting, the little crap about little rights that you have or don't have. Can't you know this glorious kingdom that we've been delivered into? Somebody must have a response.
Why do I feel like I'm hearing the gospel for the first time?
That's good. Each time it should be as though you do the first time you heard Torah. Not, then you, if you're just sitting there learning something, go jack off or something. You're not learning anything. We must bring forth fruit that's necessary for repentance. If you don't want to be a part of this, don't. God has called you before the foundation of the earth. He called you at the same time the Lamb was slain. Now don't neglect this mystery. Stop listening to the voices. Doesn't matter whether they're external or internal. Don't you see, the only thing your voices can try to do is to make you acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption? And by God's grace, He hasn't made you acceptable. He hasn't permitted it because of the circumstances in your life, and that's because you're called. The evidence of being called is humility and suffering. It's not some great success.
Feel where God remembers Noah, all the times God remembers.
Remembrance.
The car.
What? And that's good. The other part of that is just remembering him. Amen. And opposition. In your false self, you reason, you think, you contemplate, you plan. Think about creating, you think about being, you think about how other people should be, you respond to stimulus. That's the false self, that's the evil one. Your true self knows, is at peace. It always is in faith. It doesn't resist evil, it doesn't respond to any unjust thing, because we know that everything, don't you understand, that all of the things of our senses, the sensory perception of the world, that's the evil ones, that's the gods of this world's legal place. That's his, it's his domain. God is using him to find out, to purify his disciple. But you don't give it any breath. You don't give it breath or give it importance means to love it. Doesn't matter whether you are trying to fix it or you think it's wrong, it's still you're giving it breath. Therefore, you're loving it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I've spent 30 years now. I've learned not one thing in 30 years, except my old self wishes that I had never started teaching. I wish I'd never moved to the block. Yeah, on and on. Somebody must have a response.
I'm thinking about a joke before we started, which is cognitive dysfunction. Like, you come to a point where this thing is responsible, and you quit the same attention to it. It's not making another gap in or side of it. It doesn't have the clout that it does.
Like I haven't missed it, I've been gone, running around and stuff, you know, it's the same thing that I've been doing for years, and, you know, it's just, I'm grateful for that, because even while I was out there running around, you know, it's just all the way through my head, I couldn't get away from it, I couldn't break it away, I couldn't scratch it away, I couldn't do anything, it was always there.
No, I it's nothing new. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, it's like you've never been gone.
Right.
But some of you are here, but now you're gone. You understand me?
Well, start thing is that I kind of want to stop the saying. Right now, in this very moment, I see everything very clearly, and I'm completely connected and peace. And then the two things that are really important are that exhortation and speaking of Him, the way that you said those two things. Because I'm thinking about, in my conversations or whatever, the moment that He's not the centerpiece is when I start seeing myself fly down to the pit, or starting to worry, or wanting to gain from something, or I'm missing out on something, or I see that.
See, that's why, you know, it's vital that there be this continuum of fellowship, that you stay connected. And you do that not for your own sake. You do that in order to so that you are constantly know who you are. And that once it's like you're this perfect diamond that's all is perfectly cut. It's exactly as it should be. And the only way that this thing, this diamond, can be revealed is that the excess carbon must be, you know, it must be shattered so that the diamond is seen. Now, whether you use the parable of the seed, the grain, the husks, and the everything must come off. The chaff must come off. And that's what we're here for. That's why, from my perspective, you know, there's other people that live out and on around there. They come and they go. But my responsibility is this community, the ones that live here. That's where my heart is. That's where my interest is. I mean, if somebody else is out there doing whatever they're doing, that's fine. I don't care. They can come and they can be a mixed multitude until they finally fall into the ground and die. But I'm so, you know, I'm thrilled that Wade is now able to come. I mean, it's like, I can't tell you. When I saw you this morning, I almost wanted to cry. I've been with Wade longer than anybody, even longer than Pete. And then Wade and I had a discussion. We were driving somewhere. He was driving, and I was talking to him about the Book of Revelation. I'll never forget it. And I think that's the last time I saw him for about 12 years.
that long.
You said something like I never heard it before. The thing, when you were talking about loving the world, you know, I think that I've come out. I think that I don't love the world. But I'm wrong. Because when I start taking stuff seriously, it doesn't matter whether I'm taking seriously that it's good or seriously that it's bad. I mean, it's just... Because that's how it starts in me. I mean, that's what started in me in the last few days, is this voice that I couldn't even hear, but it's like, it's below an audible whisper, and it's like that it builds. And the whisper is, you're going to screw up. So you're not going to, you know, you're going to forget to do this, you're not going to do that, you're going to be lazy, you're going to fuck it up, you're going to screw up. Is how it starts.
Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Aren't you tired of listening to the accuser? And well, Ollie, you don't understand my circumstance. I promise you, I understand your circumstance. I had a meeting yesterday with Glenn and with John, and I asked him to think about something, and so. And then he went off because he was convinced that I had this, you know, this, I've got some kind of Ulian power. The only reason anybody believes that is because they know I see him. You understand that? Now, you too can see that clearly. And much more clearly. What?
When you said that, you
too can have this stuff.
$9.99.
Can you understand? Is there something inside you that can understand this? That what you resist, you affirm? You give power to. I can't understand. That's why Christ had all power, because he was powerless, because he didn't resist.
That's you resist because you think you have the power to resist. You know, like you can do something to fix something. So it really goes back to knowing that you don't have, when you're in that weak position, then you won't try to resist because you know you don't have any power anyway.
Yeah, your soul, it's the false nature, says that the real you is your sensory perception, your response. And when you start, when these voices come, you start to believe those lies. And the lies always have that you're separate from the power, you're separate from him. And you try to resist by some outer means. And the more you resist, the more power you give it. Because you're operating in the realm of him. Get out of the realm. Get into him. You get into him by, Father, forgive me. I'm picking up your cross and loving not your life unto death. You overcome him by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and you love not your life unto death. That means... That's not something that something... You're not reading a history book or a future book. You're reading a now book. Oh, I've got all these good ideas. No, don't you understand? All your ideas are stupid. All your opinions are worthless. Oh, but this is what I think about that. Well, the moment you do that, you've taken a stand. The moment you've taken a stand, you have... entered the world of the dragon, the darkness. Because you've affirmed something that has value. And it doesn't matter whether it's about food or about... politics, religion, if you agree that you should or shouldn't do this or that, even if you're fighting in that domain, you are confusing soul and spirit. You're just, you know, the spirit has already won, but you're back down there fighting. Why? Why are you doing this? This is something I wrote a long time ago, but you must hear this. You must accept the evil as Satan's right to test the outer you. This is his rightful domain. We must give him his rights to our soul and to our bodies. And we are presented as lambs to the slaughter. The lamb lays down his life. The lamb lays down with the lion. The resurrected one, the real you, then rises and possesses his possession. Don't you understand? The mystery of life is always death. You'll feel for a minute like you're forsaken, but then you are with Christ and you say, "My God, why has thou forsaken me?" And you wait.
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
Okay. Can you understand the thing I want you to get in your head? As you've overcome the evil one by laying down the right to yourself. That's the mystery of discipleship. That's what I've tried to say in a million ways. You no longer try to attempt to establish your own rightness about anything. That's the pillar. That's those false things that are... You know only God's rightness. And that's all that faith is to know his rightness about every second, about every situation. There's no more battles, there's no more fight. Nothing to do. The glory in this mystery and everything else. Let's go to Revelation 14. One of these days we're going to sit down and go verse by verse right through the book of Revelation, but now I just have to skip around. Huh? That would be boring? I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Don't you want to rest? Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. go to John 14, Old Crest. Verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Now, a better translation or expanded translation of that verse: I will not talk with you much more, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and there is nothing in me or about me that he wants, and he has no power over me. By his weakness, and there's nothing that the God of this world wants in you. He has no interest in you. Because you're seated with him in the heavenlies. You're on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, protected, totally at peace. You no more give breath to anything that's in the world, anything that you can sense with your senses. We'll spend more time on this. I saw in the last few weeks, three friends died. One, a kid I grew up with, played with daily for the first 9 years of my life. A precious guy in my mind. Another was Steve, was closer to me than my right arm. Another was Ken Jemery, who most of you don't know, that started Half Price Books, that was a very close friend for about 10 years in the 60s. We had massive arguments. He loved to debate. I did too. Mm-hmm. But all of that is gone. There were three totally and completely different personalities. And so when any stimulus hits, and they were all three totally different in terms of everything. I mean, but the three probably covered every possible situation that I could be in. And if anything happens in me, you know, something comes again. I mean, I just remember, that's why death is there. That's what, we are dead in him. We've been buried. Don't let this evil one raise himself from the deadly head wound. And don't give him breath. Don't love anything in this world.
But it just said it's just not evil. How do you resist him?
You resist him by ignoring him. The test.
You have to see yourself as dead. What place do you have to work on?
Okay, remember that this whole thing is about discipleship, which is dying to self. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting or hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence. That is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, and spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food or any offering, any climate, any people, any clothing, any interruption, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own words, when you are uncomfortable with commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that we may know him, being made conformable unto his death. Amen? That's the last word. Bible study. Can we? Anybody have any other response? Anybody understand a little bit?
There's an article in the Science part of the Times today. It had a picture of the Milky Way, you know, and shows the center of the Milky Way and where the Earth is, and, you know, it's 30,000 light years. Those kind of things, you know, boggle my mind. I just, you know, I mean, that's just the Milky Way, and then there's all these, you know,
zillion other
100,000 of galaxies. And I keep thinking about how laughable it is that, you know, Satan has power over this myth, which is the world system on this planet. That's the one thing which is so, infinitely small. And the other is God, who created all this whole universe. And if that's what he has, that's the least he could do to close this mystery of his son, you know, like, it just hurts my brain. I can't, you know, it is. It's like the world system is a vapor, and, you know, the nations are a drop in the bucket, and all those things. You know, either we're a part of this huge thing,
or we're dropping the bucket.
Or we're, you know, yeah, or we're concentrating on a grain of sand. You know, that's it. There's no in between.
Love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. The word world there is ion. It means this mist, this place right here. Then God said, God so loved the world. Got a concept. God so loved the world, love not the world. But God so loved the cosmos. And the word cosmos is the adornment. It gives the sense that he so loved the bride that he gave his son. And it's far bigger than our minds can comprehend. We resist the devil by ignoring him. That's how you resist. But you gotta ignore also his legions, which are the voices that are talking to you. His son, which is this Antichrist that has been our false identity. That's why we love the cross. That's why we were determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why the power of everything is in the cross, in the death of you. thinking these things. Stop listening to the stupid voices. And stop loving and praying to the stupid God. Yourself. Amen? Well, I went over time, Josiah. Way over time.